My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Ready? World class. Do not scratch your eyes.
This is the beautiful game described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus.
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores. It's 3-0 United States.
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get to today. We will talk about Captain America scoring in Italy, doing big things.
Who's that?
Is that not Christian Pulisic?
I don't know.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We'll talk about that coming up. Legendary player Eden Hazard is going to retire, so we will talk about that. Your guy, Beamer, Wayne Rooney, failure. No, just kidding. But he is out at DC United, so.
Didn't have the chance to interview him. I'm very distraught about that.
That's too bad. We never did get that interview locked down, so have to figure that out. And plenty more to get to. Of course, we will be talking Columbus Crew to start off. Beam, how's your week been?
That's been pretty good, man. Can't complain at all. Meredith's, you know, back in school. They're almost done with the first quarter, so that's pretty good. She's got tomorrow off. Soccer Podcast Day is a Thursday. She's got a Friday off. She's going to head back down out to town. She's got some family members in town that have not met young William yet, so she's excited to get back down there and do that. I got to work on Saturday to the post game for the Buckeye game, so that's about it, man. I can't really complain. Been sleeping good. Baby's been eating good. He's been gagging left and right. Really freaks me out.
This is how you know you're talking to a parent of a recently born child, is when they're like, I'm sleeping well. Yep. I just wanted you to know that, because it's a thing that you probably haven't been doing for a lot of the last 8 months or so, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it hasn't been. But no, it's been good, man. It's been fun. He's got teeth coming in now.
Oh, there we go.
The bottom teeth are already in. The top two are poking out. And so he's just a drooly mess, like all over the place, eating avocados and mangoes and all sorts of carrots. And
yeah.
Bath time is like way more pertinent now than what it was because he's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's great. It's great fun stuff. We're about a week away from crawling.
Mm.
Like, we're starting to get into, we have the plank position, then we went downward dog, and now we're on all fours kind of rocking. I'm
just
like,
trying
to
figure out how to get it moving.
Our
That's
house
right.
is not baby proofed at all.
Oh, here we go. Got to make that run.
There's a lot going on.
Got to get all the plastic plug covers and all that stuff. Yeah. I have had, my week has been like, I yesterday, no joke, I had meetings from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. just straight through.
Literally. Why?
Because I'm dumb and I scheduled myself some meetings, or I accepted meetings that were all like back to back to back to back. So we got a lot of crap going on behind the scenes. Nothing bad, just stuff that has to get done. And apparently I'm involved in the stuff that has to get done committee. So
must be nice.
Lucky me.
I have one meeting a week.
Good for you.
Well, not including this. I guess this would be a
this
second meeting
kind of
a week.
Like,
but this is fun. This is fun meeting.
I don't know.
It's probably not fun for you, but it's fun for me.
No, I was on the phone with one of our vendors who helps us with things behind the scenes.
Talking to vendors.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were like, hey, can we reschedule this to like 3:30 today? And I was like, I have a 3-hour meeting every day at 3:00.
So they're like, yeah, you liar. Actually,
I didn't want to throw it out there like I'm on the radio. It's such a weird thing. I don't like to say that to people other than people like who do what we do.
Yeah.
I don't like to throw that out at parties. If my wife is introducing me, it's like, what do you do? It's like, I work in the media.
I'm glad that we're having this conversation because you and I are on the same wavelength.
I don't want it to be the thing I throw out there.
Say, what do you do for a living? I work at a radio station.
I'll say media or a radio station. And then they'll say, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm on air there occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Like, same.
I won't say occasionally, but I'll say I'm on the air.
I'm like, we, you know, there's sports. Like, I just do sports.
Yeah, right. It's sports talk. And then that most people are like, oh, okay, so you don't play music? Great, I don't.
Right, right.
And then it's like, whew, good. But then it's like, I do want to specify it's sports, and I'm not, like, on the station that's yelling about, like, who's going to be the president. I'm not on that station. I'm on a station that's just talking about which quarterback is going to get the job done.
By the way, speaking of that, so Meredith and I live up in Clintonville, and we had the most Clintonville thing ever.
Must be nice. Jeez.
Yeah, okay, get out of here, man. At least you have a driveway that's your own. And a garage.
Yeah, neighbor Eric stars sharing his driveway.
Yeah,
God.
Jesus, man. I can see you getting dressed in the morning, put on a shirt. No, but so we were taking William out for a walk and had Theo with us, and it's awesome. And we were, you know, just walking around the neighborhood, and it was probably 60 degrees out. It was cooler, but it was nice out. It was sunny out. And there was an old man walking around the neighborhood. He's probably 70, 75 years old, had on like awesome cargo shorts. Some sort of like not designer tee, but like graphic tee that said something. I couldn't really read it, and had an awesome like plaid, you know, jacket on. And in his plaid jacket, like in his pocket, on his shirt, he had a portable radio on, and it was just blaring NPR. And I'm like, it fits perfectly. Like, this is great.
Yeah. I've never.
And then we picked some jalapenos from the community garden and then walked.
Hey, what a day. I appreciate the people who enjoy what they're listening to. Yeah. Like if they listen to us and they want to blare that. I've never understood the people like hiking. There are companies that make little radios that you can attach to your like backpack or whatever. And they're tiny, small. They're not even radios. They're Bluetooth speakers. But anything that's on your phone could be on there. And sometimes you'll be hiking in the woods. You'll be like, is that 311? And then all of a sudden you're like, it sure enough is. Why am I exactly right. You just hear it in the middle of the woods and you're like, well, we're out here to commune with nature, I thought. No, we're out here to like, let's bang some tunes. Let's get them out there.
Smoke some weed.
Hey, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. So busy week here for all of us. We will talk a little bit about some of the stuff going on with the crew. But first, good reminder. Saw this from Sam Fahmy, Keith Noss, among others on Twitter who are posting this today. We are recording Soccer Podcast Day. It is October 12th. Mm-hmm. If you remember, October 12th of 2018 was Save the Crew Day. That is when the crew, right? 2018?
Yeah. Yep.
That is when the crew were officially saved. So by my math, that's 5 years passed since the crew were saved, and I guess a 5-year landmark are on the timeline, right? That's a time to reflect and say, how have the last 5 years been since? I mean, I think if you'd have told all of us the year prior in 2017, which was right around, I think it was right around the same time, like almost a year to the day,
it was,
that the crew were going to be saved a year from then, and you would have played for a MLS Cup and won it, you would have opened a new stadium, you would have fired the coach who won the MLS Cup, and
you would have brought in your highest paid fee ever for a player and then got rid of that same player.
Yeah, that's right. Transferred him out. And
you would have sold the player for the highest ever because Zach Steffen would have left after that.
That's right, he did. You're right. And so, I mean, all these things happened since then. I mean, it's been a wild 5 years, but I would say overall the crew are in a really good spot from an on-the-field standpoint. Off the field, it seems like, I mean, can you ask for more than what they're doing?
Greg Berhalter would be your national team coach.
Well, there's all
twice.
That. There's all that.
Twice.
He was, and then he wasn't, and then he was again, but he kind of always was, but he net. Yeah. But the crew are selling out. They got, you know, what was that, 13 sellouts we had with the Taylor Swift tweet. So that was big, 13 sellouts. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's been 5 years. It's been a hell of a ride, Beamer. It's interesting to think because we've been on the air for all of it, basically.
Yeah, we started this as, like, right before Save the Crew.
Yeah, right before it got started, essentially. Yeah, I mean, it became quickly like, hey, this is where we're going to yell about things. With Save the Crew.
It was like three or 4 months after it was announced, like the Grant Wall article came out that not the crew were going to leave, but Anthony Precourt was going to move them down.
Yeah, that's right. So we've kind of been here along for that whole ride with you.
That's crazy.
So thank you guys for listening and all that, but also
thank you for also educating me this entire time too. Cause like, I remember let's be honest. All right, man, you were a big part in why this organization and everybody, the community involved.
I just had a place to talk about it. I work at a radio station, if you haven't heard. But that's no, but I always tell people, like, I would have talked about it if I wasn't on the radio, yep, just to whoever would listen. I just happen to have someone who stuck a microphone in my face that was, yeah, but I mean, I can't take any more credit than any, I can't take a lot of credit at all, honestly. It's just, it's fortunate for me that I was in a place where I could do that. But,
right, and then in return to that, I think it's fortunate for the fans of this team that you were in a place to do that.
Well, that's, and I appreciate that, but it's also like, there were a lot of people who actually, like, yeah, gave up their lives,
yeah,
for years to make Save the Crew happen. And those people, I could not have done that. Like, I could not, I was not in a place with my life, with kids and everywhere, everything that we had going on. I couldn't have just done, like, from, you know, 3 p.m. every day till 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. working on stuff, and then get up the next day, go to my real job, and then go back to doing that for like 8 hours off time. There's no way I could have done that. So those people are the ones that I would always say they had a lot more to do with it than us. But I was glad to post their updates vocally on a radio station whenever we had a chance to. But yeah, Save the Crew Day itself.
What'd you feel like that day when it was announced? Because it was announced, it was kind of not a well-guarded secret that it was going to be announced today, but maybe it happened yesterday, 5 years ago, where it's like, hey, it's going to be a big announcement tomorrow. Like, it's officially Team of Soul. Like,
yeah,
you know, things were starting to move in the right direction. But then what is officially announced? Like, what?
Oh, well, there was a thing that happened earlier in the week, back in that week in October, where I can say it now. I think I've told this story before, but if not, Morgan Hughes, who's one of the instrumental leaders of Save the Crew, and a continuing champion, he'll tell you. But I had been messaging with him off and on about various things, and occasionally just be like, hey, how's it going, whatever. And I said something about, I can't remember what it was that I said to him, but I think I, like, texted him just out of the blue, like, Jesus Christ, can you save the fucking team already? Because I'm getting real sick of this shit. Like, pardon my French. But I just sent him, like, a text like that, just kind of to mess with him, you know? Like, geez, get this done already. Yeah. And he texted me back and was like, remind me when the team is saved to tell you about the timing of this text. I was like, okay. And so it turned out, like, a couple days later, that was when the announcement, that was when he started posting, like, that day of, you know, hey, mm-hmm, everybody get down to the bar because it's happening. Endeavor, we're opening up early.
Yep.
No big reason. And so I'm like texting him like, wait, was that what the tweet was about? Like, is that what the text was about? Like, that I texted you and you found out and you couldn't tell me? And then he's like, I can't say anything, but you want to be at the bar.
He's at Endeavor, yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So then I started, and then I started kind of reaching out to a few people who I've met over the years who work in places that might know things. And
work at a radio station.
One of those people got back to me and was like, you didn't hear this from me, but it's officially done. And this is a person who worked in government. And so I was like, I don't mean like sanitation worker, though I have a lot of respect for people who do that. It was someone who was like in the office of, yeah, people who were involved in the negotiations to make it all happen. So that told me, like, okay. And then another person who didn't know that person messaged me and was like, hey, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's official. Like, it's happening. It's done.
Look at you double stamping your sources.
So that was when I remember I was in our old radio station, yeah, and I ran down to the midday show, which I think at the time was still Carpenter and Rothman. Mm-hmm. But I told AR, I was like, hey, it's legit. I will hop on with you if you want to, whatever. This was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, but I can confirm it's happening. I know you've seen these tweets and whatever, but I'm telling you, it's done. Let's consider this our
breaking
we're
news.
Reporting it, yeah, that it's happening. However you want to do that, I will gladly tell you, I'll show you the tweets, whatever, or the text. And he's like, no, let's go for it. Let's do it. So we talked about it on the air, and then we did our show, and then it was like, you know, the whole day, it's like, when's this announcement going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then it finally kind of, there was the tweet that I think Major League Soccer was pissed that it got out, but
yeah,
who cares? But it eventually, it was right, and it was real, and they said, yeah, it the sale's not official, but there's an agreement to the, yep, blah, blah, blah. And so, but then that whole rest of the day, I was like, can I just get out of here so I can
just want to leave? Yeah.
I just wanted to get to the bar. And so that was great to see everybody there. And I remember talking with Steve Cirk for a very long time, which we don't talk enough about Cirk, but he is truly one of the Crew, you know, historians that if you need to know the history of the Crew, talk to Steve Cirk. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he's got multiple books out about the Crew. Go get them. Go read them. They're fantastic reads, all of them. And they have tons of great anecdotal stuff from guys who were there and played in all these games. And he has plenty of stuff about Save the Crew. He just had another book come out, so go check out Steve Cirque. I recommend him fully to get whatever you can about the Crew off of, from what he knows. But anyway, yeah, it was a great day and
special day in Columbus history.
Yeah. And I was full circle last night. I happened to go over to my buddy Jason, who's a neighbor of mine. He got season tickets last year. First time ever.
Nice.
So this year, him and his wife and his daughter have been to every Crew home game. First year they've been season ticket holders, and they have loved it. They're like fully invested. So there was an event at the River Club for season ticket holders, and he said, hey, you want to come along? Nobody else can come with me. And I was like, sure, I'll hop in. And so then I'm sitting there, and I walk over, and at the table they had two players there. It was Alexander Mattan and Diego Rossi.
Hail Mattan.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have the shirt with me, but I did the very fanboy thing. I took the phone out and said, and showed him a picture of me wearing the shirt and said, this is, and he smiled. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then took a photo with him and Rossi. I'll post that on the Bone and Beam accounts if you want to see it. But anyway, that all said, it like hit me last night. I'm like, I'm standing in a club section meeting players that Diego Rossi, like we never would have dreamed of having a guy like, not that the other players sucked or anything.
Sure.
I'm saying, the level of players now with him and Zello Ryan, who they brought in before, and Cucho, like these are guys that it's just a different level that this team has gone to. So not to besmirch any of the other players, right? The league was building at those times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really surreal to sit there and be like, good Lord, Diego Rossi is playing for the
Crew.
And
your nice new
Crew.
Shiny multiple $100 million stadium.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was a really, and my buddy Jason, his contribution to all this was, he works in environmental services, and they were basically out there on the site from day one, helping to test all the soil and make sure everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
But he was literally sending me texts and pictures back in the day going, this is where the goal is going to be. I'm standing at midfield right now.
Standing at the goal mouth.
Just a dirt patch of nothing.
Right.
And he's like, this is where it will be when it's built. And so that was kind of cool to get to hang out with him last night. So anyway, there you go. A little Save the Crew, nice little thing to talk about. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was fun. It was a nice day, and I'm going to stop talking now because I had too many meetings yesterday and I'm out of words.
Brain is fried. Save the Crew day.
That's right. It's a good thing it's fried at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you got that going for you. At least you don't have a big day on hand.
No, I don't have that. We don't have Jackets season opener.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, by the way, Jackets fans starts tonight. So we're excited for that. Even though we talk soccer, go Jackets.
Yeah, of course. Everything Columbus. Go Columbus.
Win all the games. That's right. I'm trying to remember where you were on Save the Crew Day. What did you have going on?
Well, I was probably doing the Buckeye show.
I
was at the radio station for sure. Yeah. I'm sure that I was doing something with Timmy that day. Maybe I was on updates. I don't know. I remember when they made the groundbreaking at the new stadium, I was down there and called into multiple shows and, you know, talking about, you know, everything that was going on there.
Yeah,
I can't recall vividly what I did. I think that's because I was working it. I think I was just working at nighttime.
Yeah, and I know, and for people who don't know, when you do the Buckeye show, it's like your whole world just revolves around like, oh, there's the sports over there. I have to figure out what to talk about with the Buckeyes today.
Yeah, because you're only allowed to talk Ohio State sports.
And you're
show,
so. And you're doing it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Where?
In June.
Yeah.
In July.
When there's not any Ohio State football or basketball going on. So what are you, you know, no hockey to talk about. You got to, I don't know, no baseball. What are you talking about in June?
It's a great question. Couldn't tell you. Why don't you crawl into the mind of Timmy Hall and see?
Oh, yeah.
It's a dangerous place to live.
So let's talk about, speaking of dangerous places to live, anytime you're on the field and Kevin Molino's on the field, just get ready for some stupidity
Crew
to happen.
Saved. We're happy they're here. Kevin Molino stinks.
Dude, at this event last night at the River Club, one of the season ticket holders was like, if Kevin Molino's the player, I'm walking out.
I'm leaving.
Because they had said there were going to be players there. Yeah. And he's like, if it's Kevin Molino, I'm leaving. I was like, I don't think they're going to bring Kevin Molino out. I think they know better than to do that. And they did. They brought two A-list guys. That
you
was
can't
good.
Keep subbing him in with the 80th minute on. Like, you just
no.
can't. You can't
no.
do it.
No chance. No. And I don't understand what the fascination is. The, you know, that Mean Girls line of stop trying to make Fetch a thing. Like, stop trying to make Kevin Molino a thing. This is, we got it. When they signed him,
yep.
I was happy about it. I thought it was a nice move.
He's had
it
some good spells.
I thought it would be, you know, veteran depth and a guy who might push to start because in Minnesota he had a couple really good years, but his knock was he always has injuries, mm-hmm. and that's what happened the first, you know, year or so he was here. Lots of injuries that kept him off the field, and he's never really been able to find, other than maybe a moment here or there, nothing to really say this guy's worth a roster spot, he's worth a high salary, he's worth anything. on this team. So I understand that he's still here and they're not going to like just end his contract or anything, but I don't know why you put him in the 18. I don't know why you're playing him.
Yeah.
I do not see the value. And obviously Wilfried Nancy has played, I mean, has, you know, watched this game, watched this team quite a bit, sees them in training all the time. I'm sure he's seeing something that makes him think Kevin Molino should be out there, but I hope he's not anymore. I hope that's all done now.
Sometimes, you know, when you're a coach or you're a player or whatever, like you can practice great and then it goes in the games and it goes out the window. Or sometimes you practice awfully and then the games, like, you shine. So
yeah.
I'm guessing veteran leadership on this team, like, I'm certain that he brings that, but it's just not, and unfortunately, the reality of the situation is just not there, and he's being a detriment to your team right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
with it's only not, like 5 minutes left to go in a game.
It's not anything that we have at this point. There's no value to bringing him in. And that game in Atlanta is just, God, it was so frustrating too, because Atlanta is not the easiest place to play. It's the weird indoor thing with the turf, and you got their fans can be decently loud, obviously, when they've got that all rolling. I think they had the building open from one of the pictures I saw, so maybe it wasn't quite as loud as normal. But still, I mean, it's a tough place to play, and they're fighting for playoff position.
Yeah.
And you might have to, if things don't work out in everybody's favor here, you might end up going there 2 out of 3 if you have to play 3 games in that opening round. So we don't know how that's going to shake out. Obviously, tying doesn't really give Atlanta the upper hand there, but would have been nice to take the 3 points and help you get home field, not just over them, but a lot of other teams too, possibly. They had it in their grasp, and they gave 2 points to Atlanta, essentially, by taking 2 away from themselves. So, yeah, it's just entirely frustrating. Can't have that happen. And I don't feel like the crew necessarily played a terrible game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tough. I think if you can get a goal on the road in Atlanta, places like New England, places like Orlando's not artificial turf, but like Orlando, if you can get a goal on the road in Orlando, Houston, these are places that have
that'll never happen.
Well, yeah. But my point is, if you get a goal on the road in those situations, I'll take it. And then if that means a tie, usually I'm okay with it. Hopefully you can have a defense that plays well enough to get you a win. But a goal on the road is usually a really good start. So at least they got the point, but it really should have been 3. And it's not because of a stupid foul.
So the good news for the crew right now, as it sits, decision day is next weekend. So you only have a couple of matches. Teams who are sitting on 32 games played will play this weekend. And then next weekend will be decision day. I believe that's the 21st is decision day, where the crew hosts Montreal for theirs.
Yeah.
So the crew sit on 54 points. The highest they can get is 57. Now they can technically leapfrog Philly to get into third.
Okay.
All right. But Philly in their last game has New England. They travel to New England.
Hmm.
New England sits a couple points behind the crew with a game in hand.
Hmm.
So they play Nashville this weekend, which will be interesting to watch.
Let's go, Nashville.
So
let's go.
If the playoffs ended today. Started today. If the regular season ended today,
yeah,
the crew would be in fourth. They would have home field, excuse me, in the first round.
Yes.
So that would be good.
Oh, we're having one of those dry
throat
moments.
Can't do it. It's awful when it happens.
Hang on, I'm just going to sip my iced coffee I got right
now.
Here.
Atlanta. Remember that one time when I did it in the Sports Center update? It sounded like I was having a stroke. That's exactly what happened.
We haven't played it like 10 times on the show in the last couple of years since that happened.
Remember when I called the Blue Jackets something else?
yeah, I do. I remember that, yes.
Atlanta has 50 points. You have 54. They cannot catch you. So the point against them kind of knocked them off from anything that they could catch you in the table.
That's fair.
Take a massive gulp of
water. Yeah, you should. Well, that's good, though. I'm glad about that. I guess you're right. I didn't see that was actually where they were. But in either case,
you're too busy talking to vendors.
That's right. I've been in meetings. I need to have a meeting about this show so I can actually know what the hell's going on. No, I'm hopeful that the crew did not cost themselves a chance to have like home field advantage. If let's say you stay ahead of New England, but you don't jump Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say Philly, you know, in the second round, you end up playing them for some reason, right? Or you play them in the conference finals. Like, the more teams that are not ahead of you clearly gives you a better chance at playing these bigger and bigger games if you can get there. It hopefully helps you have a chance to have more home field advantage. So I don't like seeing that ever. I don't like seeing dropping points. I honestly wonder, they haven't dropped as many points this year as they did last year, clearly. Last year, they would have made the playoffs if they'd have just been like a regular team. And not
if you would have ended the game after 75 minutes, they would have been
Yeah.
Maybe the best team in the East.
But I was going to say, even this year, they've had some where they have dropped points in the last, 10 minutes of a game. And I honestly wonder how close they would be to second or even maybe supporter shield if they hadn't dropped those points. Now, I know they've also gotten a couple late in games too, but, I know it all evens out, but they've got to find a way. So one game left for the Crew, and that is hosting Montreal, correct?
Yes.
Not this coming weekend.
21st.
The 21st. Yep. So that is a big, big deal. Is that a game on Saturday, the 21st?
Or is it on Sunday? Saturday, the 21st.
Oh, okay, good.
6 o'clock start.
Yeah. I have an appearance on Sunday, the 22nd.
Oh,
so I wanted
good.
To make sure I didn't have to deal with that. That's great. All right. Well, good luck to the Crew. And Nashville, go get them.
Go get them.
Stop wearing the colors of the Crew.
But please. Go get them.
Stop wearing the colors of the Crew. I hate you. But go get them this weekend. We'll take a break when we come back. We will talk some Serie A, which we're known for on this show.
Yes.
Lots of we are the ooh to Serie's ah. We'll do that next. It's Bone and Beam on the Bone and Beam on the Fan or on the podcast, whatever. Play the thing.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United, and whatever you're listening on, if you listen to a podcast provider that allows you to like or rate or subscribe, I think they all let you subscribe, please do that if you haven't done that yet for Bone and Beam United, and get more brilliant discussion like you just heard in the last 30 seconds of that last segment where I just couldn't figure out how to stop talking. So I'll stop talking now, though, and let Beam tell you a little bit about what's going on with AC Milan, because our guy, Christian Pulisic, flying high, baby.
All right,
he's
so
back.
The crazy part about this is AC Milan was playing Genoa. So this game, everybody was tuned in. Everybody around the world was watching this
huge
game.
Huge game.
Yep, massive game. So this game is in Genoa. It's on the road. Goalie for AC Milan gets a red card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Goalie for AC Milan gets a red card. Now, this is the subsection of the story, which may be even the better part of the story.
Yes.
But anyways, let's take you to the 87th minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Christian Pulisic scores a goal in the 87th minute against Genoa. It's 1-0, okay?
Big time.
All of a sudden, Mike Maignan, goalie for AC Milan, gets a red card. Olivier Giroud, known for his world-class saves.
Yeah.
And devilishly good charm. Good looking. He comes in at goalie, which I think was the biggest surprise to anybody that you're throwing Olivier Giroud game as goalie.
Yes, it's like, not like, let's just throw some really tall, lanky defender.
The leading scorer for France as a footballing nation. He is the leading scorer for France, and you're going to throw him into a 1-0 game where Genoa's obviously going to like pump everybody up the field.
Yeah, you'd think you'd try to find like, is there a poor man's Peter Crouch that you have who's just a tall, lanky fella who they could just put some gloves on and throw out there for 5 minutes.
Do you not have a goalie on the bench? Like,
yeah, right. That's true. Yeah.
Do we not have that? So that happens. Pulisic scores. People are going nuts. The Italian broadcasters are going, USA, USA. Yes. They're like chanting him. I would look at the translation. It was like, you American, you come here and you're going to be an Italian hero. Like, it was awesome. Like the Italian commentary. I had no clue what he was saying, but I need translation to see that. So then, like I said, all shit hits the fan. It just hits
all
the fan.
All hell breaks loose. All the above.
It's crazy. Red card in the 98th minute. Josep Martinez gets a red card in the 103rd minute. Olivier Giroud's in goal, punching balls away, ducking his face out of the way to make sure he doesn't get booted in the face. Like, this was one of the more entertaining. I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights.
Yes,
but it was one of the more entertaining Because Pulisic scored, and then it's like, yeah, we're going to put Olivier Giroud in goal. If you could guarantee me every Serie A game would end like that, I'm in.
I'm in the same way. And the other thing I really love was, I don't know what channel it was in Italy. I'm assuming it's like their ESPN or their whatever, Fox or something. They had like two guys, because you know how they do this in Europe, in like certainly in Britain, I know they've done it, when they can't show the game on a network. Mm-hmm. They will have like watch parties essentially, but with real journalists, not like, you know, Barstool or some of these other like online places do it now, where it's just a bunch of dudes sitting around getting mad that their bets aren't working out or whatever. But this is like guys in suits who are former players. They're journalists. They're like covering the game, but they'll be talking about the game, but they can't show it.
Yeah.
So you can hear some of the game action underneath them, but they have to talk over it. And so they were doing that kind of broadcast, and all of a sudden Pulisic scored. And I see this older man who's on the broadcast, who clearly is a AC Milan fan, or at least is someone who is in favor of AC Milan winning this game, and he just walks across the stage to the other guys who clearly are not thinking Milan was going to win or whatever, and he's just like, yeah, and he just like gets in their face, and he's just doing the like pumping his arms thing,
the real
and,
heavy pumping of the arms,
and he's like, Pulisic, Pulisic, and they're just like, all right, man, we got it, he scored. He's giving it to him, and I loved it.
He's back
great.
In form, and it's awesome to see. I mean,
yeah, man. That's
whatever that's they're what doing, whatever they're doing over there for him, like keep on doing that.
You know what they're doing? They're not. I honestly think there's something to the effect of there's a ton of pressure in Italy. It's not. It's not like, you know, England is the pressure cooker in Italy. It's super easy to play. It is obviously there are different levels of input given, or different levels of importance, I guess, given to the way that defense is done in Serie A versus the Premier
League. It's a different style.
And every team is different therein, but I'm saying, like, I think a lot of it has to do sometimes with how players are expected to play defensively when they're offensive minded. I think you have some burly, tough, mean defenders in Serie A, just like you do in the Premier League. I don't think you have as many offensive minded guys who get yelled at because they're not keeping defensive shape.
Right.
I think you're much more free to just play offensively. And then obviously you have to track back and do things, and you can't just ignore that if you're Christian Pulisic. But I'm guessing it's been a relief for him to be able to get out of a system where every little inch of your positioning is questioned. And if you're not inch
perfect.
Well,
then he's going to come back and play for the U.S. men's national team and be thrust right back into that system. So that's good news.
One thing at a time, all right? Let's just get his confidence back, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
You know, he's scored the same amount of goals. He's got four of them this year, and he had, in his last couple of years at Chelsea, he had seven. I mean, we're...
In the last 2 years at Chelsea?
God. Yep. So 22-23 last year for Chelsea, he scored one goal in 24 appearances. And then 21-22, he scored six. I mean, so we're halfway home.
Yeah, to getting him to that total at least. But, you know, it helps. Two things that help. One, being able to be healthy enough to play. Two, not being benched. Like, those are that's going to help your chances at scoring goals, is if you're actually on the field. And both of those are availability and the coach liking you. But, yeah, good for Christian Pulisic. Glad to see it.
Good for Olivier Giroud. And AC Milan, terminally online, I guess, threw up and redid their website and added Olivier Giroud as their active goalkeepers on their roster.
That's love that.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, and that's honestly, it is one of the more underrated aspects. Like, you see it in baseball sometimes when they run out of pitchers or they don't want to put their starters or anybody else out there because it's like, we're down 15-0 in the fifth inning.
Right fielder Smokey Joe.
Yeah, right. And he's just going to like throw Ephus pitches the whole night. That I enjoy that. But I really enjoy the rare, and we don't see it nearly as often, the rarity of a field position player, let alone a star striker playing goalie in a meaningful game. That's
trying to protect the lead and keeping a clean sheet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, I'm trying to remember how that went with Eddie Gavin, because he had when he was like 15 or 16, when he started, former crew player who started his career with Metro Stars before they became New York Red Bull or Red Bull New York, whatever. He came in because they had a rule where you could substitute in. They basically could not sub in. They had a goalie injury or a red card situation. And I want to say, because Tim Howard at one point was involved, I think this was to get maybe Tim Howard back on the field or something, Metro Stars. Anyway, the rule was you could put a position player out there, but he had to like come in goal, and then you could sub in a player, another player could be subbed in for a goalie, and then they could like swap on the field. Anyway, okay. So Christian Pulisic, Eddie Gavin came in as a goalie basically when he was like 15 or 16 years old to get him on the field, and then he immediately swapped with whoever it was to get that guy back in goal. And then he went up and I think still had like the goalie jersey on, but scored a goal. And I have to go find that.
Harry Kane did that a couple of years ago when Tottenham had to throw him in at goalie, and yeah, he scored a hat trick, but then let either one or two up. This is like, Harry, you're canceling yourselves out.
Yeah,
by
right,
scoring the goals and then letting him in.
Yeah, right.
Like Harry Kane, that's the guy who you want putting a goalie, right? Tall, yeah, lanky dude. Olivier Giroud, not so much.
Yeah. This is, I found this article. It was 16-year-old Eddie Gavin. He scored the game-winning goal at RFK Stadium. And when he came in, basically the match, let's see. Match ended in regulation time with a two-goal draw and entered the then-current format of golden goal overtime. But at the same time, there was a new rule that added that said a fourth substitution for goalkeepers only meant that you could sub in an extra player because they only had the three subs, mm-hmm, still back then. That's what it was. So Bob Bradley was the manager, wow, of Metro Stars, took advantage and decided to use Eddie Gavin as his fourth sub, but said he, like, basically what they did was they put Tim Howard, like, said, go play out in the middle of the field, Tim, mm-hmm, Howard. And then some other dude who was going to get subbed off went back and was like, I'm the goalie now. And then they swapped jerseys. And then Eddie Gavin subbed in for that dude and was like, Eddie's playing in goal. And then it was like, oh, you know what? Actually, we decided Tim Howard's going to switch back to goal now. And Eddie, so that was how they,
I guess we should write the rules better.
Yeah. So that was Bob Bradley getting around. I knew there was something with Tim Howard, Eddie, yeah, Gavin. And then Eddie went on to score as a 16-year-old player. Game winner. Yeah. But I don't remember if he still had the goalie jersey on, but he at least came in. He had like a huge goalie jersey on. It just did not make any, yeah, sense for him because he was a tiny little dude. All right. Bad news if you're a fan of Eden Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
He's done. He's retiring. This is, a very big player, obviously, storied career. How are you feeling about Eden Hazard walking away?
It's kind of sad. He's always treated, I think, soccer as, you know, a game and not a job. And over the course of the last couple of years, you've seen that with Real Madrid. Like, ever since he moved there from Chelsea, like, it didn't pan really out at all. I mean, you want to talk about goal production and everything when he was at Chelsea. I mean, the guy scored 16 goals, and some of them mesmerizing where he's like a lightning bolt through the defense. And, you know, he's one place at one time, and then all of a sudden he's somewhere else, and then he's putting it top corner. Like, was one of those true on-the-ball players. And really, maybe the last one that we've seen in the Premier League that, and I don't know, we don't see this a lot anymore, like one-on-one guys like down the flanks. Like, we just... I don't know if the game has changed or whatever that was, but like, it's me, it's you, and I'm going to run right at you, and I'm going left and you're going right. Like, he was just a one-on-one guy, and like, he'd get the ball in the middle of the park too. Like, and he was so quick. His passes were awesome. They used to do that give and go with him where he was just, they were just right back and forth with him there on the left side. But no, it's sad news. He's 32 years old, stepping away from the game. You look at when he moved to Real Madrid, it was right before the pandemic in 2019, 2020, obviously big time money move. Only played in 16 games that first year for Real, scored a goal for Real Madrid. That next year he scored 3, and then 21. Last year he played 18 games. This past year he only played in 6.
Yeah.
So I think there for a while it had been starting to weigh on him probably a lot, and you had kind of seen that, and you know, rumors had been floated out there that he was going to be done. But it kind of makes me sad, man, because for so long, like he was the guy in the Premier League. Like if you turned on a Chelsea game, like he was the man. And it was awesome. You know, when we were over in London, we got to go see a Chelsea Arsenal game, and it was one where it was a classic, like vintage Hazard goal where he's bobbing and weaving through the defense bone. He takes like 3 guys on in the middle of the park and then squirts out the other side and scores a goal. Like it was mesmerizing to watch him play in person. So it makes me kind of sad. 32 years old. I think that, you know, he would have a obviously unbelievable career, and he did. He really did at Chelsea, but unfortunately for him, when he went to Real Madrid, the national team stuff kind of got in the way too, and you know, that was a bit of a disaster for Belgium this last World Cup. But I'm pretty sad about that. I mean, he was pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah. If you're wondering numbers wise how much he made while he was at Real Madrid, according to Salary Sport, it was £20 million per season. Mm. So as a result, he made roughly 80 million pounds in his time there, which equates to 31 million pounds per goal.
Yeah, seven goals for him. So nice job.
Well, that's something's not right there because they said that was only 80. Oh, no. They're saying that's how much he would have gotten just for this most recent deal. But in either case, he made roughly in his entire time at Real Madrid, it was the amount that Real Madrid paid him and the transfer fee.
Yeah.
That's $31 million per goal. Because remember, they transferred him for like £120 million.
It was an unbelievable amount of money.
So they paid all that and paid him they paid basically $200 million for a guy who got them seven goals.
He played 352 games for Chelsea. Scored 110 times.
Yeah.
Came from our friends Lyle, where he scored 48 goals in 170 games. And then went to Real Madrid, donned the white shirt, played in 70 games, scored seven.
And you know what's funny? I was looking at this article, too. The article that they post, they always find, because, you know, soccer players relatively fit.
Yeah.
Even among athletes, they're super fit. Mm-hmm. But they always find whenever there's a guy who's he's not playing well, they find the one
Fat
where
Ronaldo.
When you breathe out, sometimes when you're breathing heavy, your stomach just goes out. And even if you're have six pack abs, it can look like you have a gut.
That's what happens with me and you.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Right. That's what we do. That's exactly what's happening. But they always have that picture of him with his hands on his hip, head down, and he's got a little paunch, pot belly. And it's it just looks like that because he's probably breathing out. If he was running, he would look. Two shots later they take of him, he probably looks amazing like a regular dude. But they always find the one that's got him slouched over, not looking good. And then it's this guy, what a bum. And it's he was when he played at Real Madrid, to be fair. Not a bum in actual any other way far as playing soccer. So, yeah.
I know that while we're talking about Eden Hazard pictures, you're an NBA guy.
Yeah.
You know who Boban is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see Eden Hazard meeting up with Boban?
No.
So I've got this picture on my phone that I can show you. That is Eden Hazard on the left-hand side and Boban on the right. And Boban's 7'14"
You've
tall.
You've got to post that to Bone and Beam.
Look at the hand size. It's Boban is shaking a child's hand.
No, what it actually looks like is Boban Savovic is talking to a Ken doll. It looks like he is talking to a miniature G.I. Joe action figure and shaking that thing's hand. That's how big. That's ridiculous. I love it.
I figured you would like that.
NBA players next to regular humans. One of my favorite.
It should just be a reality show.
Yeah, it should be. Well, just have a website of that's all you show me. Just show me those pictures at all times. I'm here for it. I'll watch them. Anytime you see Shaq standing next to a regular person.
Yeah.
When he goes on late night shows, you think he's late night talk shows. Other than Conan, he was 6'7" or something. All these other guys, you're oh, that guy's probably pretty tall. Then you see him stand
Jimmy
up
Fallon's
next to
5'10" next to Shaq. And it's okay.
It's he looks like a child. Yeah. Anyway, that's good. We'll have to post that. I'll post my pictures with my creepy photo with Alexander Mattan and Diego Rossi.
Pour one out for Hazard, too, man.
Yeah, yeah. Not gone too soon, just sucked for the last 4 years.
Yeah, Real Madrid
fans do not feel like he's gone too soon. They're finally, get this bum out of here.
Get this guy off our books. Yeah. Chelsea fans, that's for you because you got some money and then wasted it on your future transfers. But
you got the money and you had the fun with him. That's all you cared about. You got the money and had the fun. That's it. All right. And on that, we'll leave you. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll know exactly what the Crew have to do to get the best position possible. We'll discuss that next week. Till then, enjoy your week of soccer. We'll see you next time on Bone and Beam United.